Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Warren. We are back for level 33.1, number 22. I'm joined by three patrons of the level 33.1 level on our Patreon. We have Mr. Chris Fuchs.
Hello, hello.
And Mr. Joey Deanberg.
Hey, how's it going?
And Mr. DJ Duena. And what's up?
Hi, everything is up. I'm up.
Thanks for being up at 4 a.m. German Standard Time, or what do you guys call it over there?
We call it Central European Summertime.
Ooh, okay.
Summertime. Still summertime for a month.
Very good. I'm glad you can make it, man. It's always fun to work you into the schedule here. I know it's quite a time change, so thanks for bearing with us Americans.
Well, it works for me.
Very good. So, hey, a lot going on out there in the world of Superman and Smallville and other things. Let's start out talking about TV Line's poll for best WB or CW show of all time. Was it just CW? No,
it was CW. Yes, it was a full CW bracket.
Okay, see, so it's like a NCAA tournament bracket of CW shows.
Does that mean the first few seasons of Smallville didn't count?
That's why it lost, because they didn't count seasons 1 through 5. So Smallville, obviously Smallville was in there. It came down to Smallville and Supernatural. I was very happy that Smallville got to the finals, but I'm not surprised Supernatural won, considering it ran 5 years longer. And it still has kind of an organized, active fan community because it just ended like a year ago. So as much as I love Smallville, we're the conference champions. So we're going to win our American League champion banner up in the rafters there. So who watches Supernatural here?
I used to watch the first 5 seasons where they had the initial arc. But then I kind of dropped off and only watched the special episodes where they made fun of themselves or had meta episodes and so on. These were fun, but I wasn't a fan of the later seasons because it became kind of repetitive in my opinion. They just switched out to the bad guy, but the story always seemed to be the same. One of the boys was hiding a secret from the other. Then the other found out. Then they were mad at each other. And then they fixed it. And repeat.
I honestly have never seen an episode.
Okay. It started out as a horror fantasy show where they basically caught all the mythical creatures that were around in North American mythology, Mexican mythology. So everything you've ever heard of in a horror story, they at one time or another encountered. And then they had, at least in the first 5 seasons, the overarching arc with demons and then angels. And in the very end, they fought even God.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who won?
Spoiler. God won, but not the original God.
Okay, so it's like a Star Trek 5 situation.
All right. Something like that, yeah.
Very good. So Joey, you watched Supernatural as well, huh?
You know, so I watched seasons 1 through 9, and I was like, it's getting close to season 10. I'm probably not going to watch this year. I'll catch up later, and then, 6 seasons later, it's like an entire other show I need to watch. But I really enjoyed what I did watch. I hadn't heard about this thing yet, and I'm looking at the bracket, and if this bracket has worked any differently, Smallville went up against Vampire Diaries at the end, and Supernatural went up against Arrow. And I think if Smallville's up against Arrow, I don't want to get Lance or Kev too excited, but I think Arrow could take down Smallville on this.
Are you serious?
A little bit
blasphemy.
Recency bias. I think I think the Arrow fan base, you know, again, it's more recent. I don't know. I mean, I think Smallville's that should have been the true champion, but when it's all left up to the fans, I don't know. I think it was kind of stacked in Supernatural's favor a little bit. I think if Supernatural and Smallville are up against each other in the semis, it has a better shot. I just think it's the way the bracket fell.
Well, yeah. bracketology over here from Joey.
if you watch the brackets, the first one up was Supernatural against Batwoman, so this was a no-brainer.
Well, that's a 1 versus a 16. That makes perfect sense to me.
And
the Flash up against Walker, that one was a pretty light matchup too.
Yeah, and during the semifinals, when it was Arrow versus Supernatural, Jared Padalecki started a Twitter call for fans to vote. So that explains the huge margin which Supernatural won against Arrow, I think.
Mm. I want to say Stephen Amell get in on it too.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think if you look at the shows, the final four, right? Because that's what they call the NCAA tournament, the final four, because those are the only four that matter, apparently. You have Smallville, right? Then you have Supernatural starring Jensen Ackles, who left Smallville to start that show. You have The Vampire Diaries starring Ian Somerhalder, who left kind of Smallville to go start that show. And then Paul, what was his name, last name? Lucas Luthor?
Wesley.
Paul Wesley. His original name was something else.
Yeah, right? Wasilewski. I think he's of Polish origin.
Yeah, and he kind of westernized it, right, for that?
Yeah, yeah.
So you have these other shows have starring Smallville guest stars, right? And then you have Arrow, which is like, oh, let's make a Green Arrow show because the Green Arrow is so popular on Smallville. So however, no matter how you cut it, Smallville is still like the backbone of this entire network. Plus, you have Burden of Truth, has been on CW, has acquired it for a couple of seasons. And you have Professionals starring Tom Welling and Brendan Fraser, which they've acquired, which I will be watching every episode of. Who has seen the Professionals trailer? Didn't you guys see this?
I've seen the Professionals first episode. It's cheesy, but it works in its own way. Brendan Fraser is really good. In the first episode, you don't see much of Tom.
So is it because it was made for European television? Is that why it's out over there now, DJ?
No, it was. It was made for some small
Australia
channel,
right?
Something like that, yeah.
And it's an hour-long kind of drama, adventure, action show. Right.
Yeah, it's basically a mercenary team under the command of Brendan Fraser, but it's lighthearted. It's not a hard, not SEAL team action. It's more lighthearted from the feel of it.
Yeah, okay. I want to say in the trailer when they have some of the actors talking about the show, the one female character was saying something like it's the funniest action show you'll see, or something like that.
I'm all about it. You know, I think it's funny now that Tom Welling and Kristen Kirk are back on the CW and other shows. Now I know it's not for the CW, but they've acquired him but that makes perfect sense. Or it's like these stars are what kind of major network, WB and then you guys at CW, because Smallville was the big flagship show during the changeover. Right. And now you bring these people back. It's going to bring people back. You know, I mean, other than the Arrowverse, I don't watch any of these. And I barely watch that right now, right? I'm not as in plug-in as I used to be. But I don't watch any of these other... Legends of the Hidden Temple. I'm very excited about that as well. If you guys listen to Always Someone Superman Lois, you know I'm very excited about Legends of the Hidden Temple. But yeah, I guess CW is going to be the network I still watch the most. And this is Tom Welling back on TV. I mean, it would have been great to see him as, you know, Superman or something. But he was never going to do that. So now we get to see him hang out with Brendan Fraser. I love Brendan Fraser. And I'm glad he's getting like... He has like a... Like a Fraser sance going on now, right? People really, the internet really seems to be Brendan Fraser fans again. And because after the Mummy films, he just kind of fell out of the public eye, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, well, he's on Doom Patrol. At least he's the voice, right? Which I haven't seen, but I know he's the voice of Robot Man.
Okay. No, I haven't seen this either, though.
So. Yeah. I love the Mummy movies. That's like, those are like the Indiana Jones movies, like
of modern times. Yeah,
yeah, much more so than Indiana Jones 4. So I
and I'm worried for Indiana Jones 5, to be honest. I'm most worried that Harrison Ford won't even see the end of the film, the state he's currently in. So
that production has to be cursed, right? I mean, it's a sign not to make it. Like, don't make Indiana Jones 5. Like, but where I am with Indiana Jones 5 is like, you know, the franchise is already kind of ruined by 4. Do another one, right? What harm can it be? But there's no Spielberg, there's no George Lucas, and I'm like, they're the reasons these exist. So I'm like, if I were Harrison Ford, I just didn't like, nah, sorry, I pass. Recast with Chris Pratt or Chris Evans or Chris Pine or some Chris with Indiana Jones, and you're fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, 80-year-old Indiana Jones passed on to his son from the last movie, which didn't happen. Or what is her name? Who is playing Phoebe Walker-Bridge? Phoebe Waller-Bridge. See, I had Walker Texas Ranger on mine there because of the CW, but Phoebe Waller-Bridge, right? Is she going to be Indiana Jones and Willie Scott's daughter from Temple of Doom? They're going to do that whole thing again. Calling it now. We'll see. I don't know why Harrison Ford, he loves Indiana Jones so much, but he like hates Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
If you've seen photos from the set, you see he has the dots in his face. So they will de-age him quite a bit for the movie. I'm not sure if it's only for a few scenes, flashback scenes or something like that, or if they will de-age him for the entire movie. I'm kind of worried. My favorite movie was always the third one with James Bond as his father. Yeah. So this is... This was a nice end to the trilogy, and the fourth one, so I'm not really excited about the fifth one. I'm kind of over the whole sequelitis era of, they should just invent new characters, new stories, or Terminator is dead, Indiana Jones is kind of dead. It's a sad era. If you compare this to, I just was in the cinema recently. I watched Dune, and that was a good remake and a good telling of the book. But I'm afraid we are not be able to see the second movie, depending on how the movie goers decide, because it's book heavy and it's not accessible easily if you don't know the book.
You saw Dune already?
Yes, it premiered this Wednesday here in Germany.
What?
Yeah.
When is this coming out? I thought it was like December. Am I wrong? Is it October? Wow. Okay, that's right. Okay, that makes sense because The Matrix is December, so that makes sense. Dune is October. Okay, wow.
Has he seen Spider-Man No Way Home yet?
Is Toby and Andrew in Spider-Man No Way Home? Since you get these movies months early? No, okay. No, that makes sense. Opening your... So you like the Dune movie, huh?
I love the Dune books. I love the original movie, the 1984 movie, even though it has nothing to do with the book. And,
yes.
I love this movie, but as I said, I'm afraid it's not quite as accessible to mainstream moviegoers. It's not much action happening. There is action in it from time to time, but not on the whole scale. And I'm afraid the standard MCU goer might be a bit bored about it. So I'm worried about part two because they didn't do the Lord of the Rings thing to make all movies at the same time. They're just waiting for the box office to return, and let's see how that turns out.
I always say now, like, TV and video, because there's so much TVs and movies, because they're so much easier to make these days, that everyone just thinks every idea we're going to make it, kind of like you do in comic books where you'd have superheroes, if anything you could possibly think of can happen to them, there's a comic book story for it. Alternate universes, time travel, everything like that. So now, like, any idea or any remake or anything you want to make, you can do now. And they're going to try. Like, look for example, we're talking baseball frequently. They just had that Field of Dreams game, like, themed, and it was like the second highest rated regular season game in however many years. So now they're going to make a Field of Dreams TV show. Like, it's just crazy.
Oh, they made a TV show out of Field of Dreams?
Apparently. I don't know if it, like, the idea got...
It's got to be like a mini series.
Greenlit or something. Right? Yeah, it's going to be something like that. Some kind of TV series.
They just want to do that so because they're gonna have the Field of Dreams game every year, which I think is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I
like
that.
But they're like, all right, when Kevin Costner can't do it anymore, we'll get this new guy to play him. Right? Oh yeah, until the end. Right? That was an amazing game.
It was
Field of Dreams game. So everybody go check it out on YouTube. I'm sure it's out there. Right? That's cool. I mean, the Astros were never playing it because they're not a historic franchise and everybody hates us now. But that's fine. Like the Reds and the Cubs are next, or.
I know the Cubs are in it next time, but
I think it's the Reds and Cubs.
I think so too. I remember the Reds.
Okay. And I missed the NL Central when the Astros were there, beating all those teams, winning all those division titles. Not cheating. So anyway, Dune, right? Joey, you a Dune fan?
No, not familiar.
Chris, no?
No.
I haven't read the books. My dad's big into those and read them all. But I saw the 80s movie. Grew up watching that. This is just a weird 80s movie. David Lynch, right? Yeah. And then the Sci-Fi Channel miniseries was really good in the 2000s. They did a couple of those. So, but that Dune Dune is one of those things where everything else is borrowed from it so much. It's going to look like, oh, you're ripping off Star Wars. I'm like, no, actually, Star Wars came after Dune and kind of borrowed a lot from it. The Sarlacc pit is from Dune. Yes, Tatooine is Dune. Just like John Carter of Mars. I never saw it, but people were like, it's like a ripoff of Star Wars. It was like, well, no, this came out in like the 19 teens as a book. But you know, anyway, that's where we are these days, where you try to go back further and people think it's the things that originated ideas are the things ripping off the imitators. So anyway, anybody ever see John Carter of Mars? I never saw it.
No, it's the main star is from Friday Night Lights, correct?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Street. No, Riggins.
Riggins. Exactly. Riggins.
Yeah. Gambit.
Yeah.
Street. Scott Taylor Kirsch is his name, is Riggins. And then I might be wrong by the last name. But then Street was played by, let's see, Kyle Porter, I think his name is. I'm missing up all these names.
Anyway, yeah, Heart of Dixie.
Okay, there you go. Right. Okay. That guy, he's a huge comic book fan. He was in, they made this documentary called like DC Heroes and Villains, and he was in it talking about like the Flash and stuff. I was like, they should have cast him as the Flash because he looks like the Flash. He's got blonde hair and all. I'm like, and Grant Gustin is great and all, but I'm like, you know, the Barry Allen is a blonde guy. You know, I didn't know that because I grew up watching the 90s Flash. And I was like, yeah, he's a brown haired guy. But, you know, no. But anyway, I think he would have been cool as Flash or Reverse Flash. Or maybe he can play Reverse Flash in the DCEU, right? But maybe Ezra Miller's playing both. We don't know. We'll find out. So anyway, talk about sequels and reboots, right? The Flash coming soon. So it's happening. I guess I owe some people some money or something. It's actually the movie's finally happening. But anyway. But hey, Michael Keaton's coming back in that. Michael Keaton also came back, well, sort of, in the Batman 89 comic book. Now, who's reading that right now? Joey's reading that. Joey, how far along are you in the comic book?
I just went to the comic book store today, picked up the first two issues, and just finished those this evening.
Okay. Are you the only? Is anyone else reading these?
No, sorry.
I've read the first Superman. I haven't read the Batman yet.
Okay. Well, when these are done, like I'll have like actual episodes probably about these at some point, but we can just in general real quickly, since not everybody's all up to speed on it.
I'm okay with spoilers if you want to.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? There's only been one issue as of this recording. There's been one issue of Superman, two issues of Batman. What do you think about Superman so far, Chris?
I thought it was a little short. I mean, I get that they're, you know, just giving you an introduction and kind of setting the stage, but I guess I thought it'd be a little bit more.
What about you, Joey?
They definitely in comparing the Batman 89 and the Superman, they definitely for Superman took advantage and had a full page shirt rip, which definitely contributes, I think, to the shortness. But I really, the first thing for both of them, I thought they took the time to capture voices. I think it's a little similar to the Smallville season 11 in terms of the art, where it's generic Superman, it's in a way, but
sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. But I mean, the opening, you know, I could hear, you know, Perry White, I could hear, you know, Lois Lane. It was, I mean, they had a whole thing about stopping to get a hot dog, and it was just, you know, it was
Oh, that was great.
It absolutely puts you right in, like, all right, we're right in the movie. And I think that, so what, Superman 1 and 2 count and that's it? Is that where the way we're going?
You know, I think issue 2, as of this recording, is coming out in a week. And that will illuminate a lot because Lex is in it.
Oh, and yeah.
So then that will be like, all right, well, so what has happened? What has not happened? It seems like,
yeah.
Again,
well, he jumps right into
the first one.
Yeah, he jumps right into the hot dog thing, which is Superman 2. So, I mean, I'm thinking
that's you want a hot dog? I don't know.
But yeah, and I thought the same thing. I could hear Billy Dee Williams for Batman just perfectly. Mm-hmm. So, I thought they did a really good job of capturing voices for both of them.
Yeah, I going into it, I was like super hyped for Batman 89. I'm like, yeah, Superman 78, we'll see. And you know, for right now, these are 6-issue miniseries. We'll see what happens from here. As of now, like, if you know, the first 2 issues, I liked Batman better. And now with the second issue of Batman, which I was kind of disappointed by, I think I might like Superman better. We'll see, right? We'll see what that second issue holds there. Because the voices, I absolutely agree. I think they really capture the voices. It's the whole Daily Planet crew and all that, you know, Perry and Lois and Clark and all that. And then Brainiac shows up and then Superman fights him. And that I think that's why it feels shorter, because it's like just this kind of splash page fight. Like you said, the shirt rip, flying out, you know, punches and this stuff. And I guess my only criticism of that is like it looks like it's just copy and pasted comic book Brainiac. I'm like, oh, I thought we were doing like if they made this movie. Or this is the comic. Maybe I'm wrong, right? Maya was like, that's what I was looking for. Like, oh, this is the comic adaptation of the movie they would have made with Christopher Reeve and Brainiac, right? But it's like, no, here's the 80s Brainiac that George Perez drew, right? Or whatever, right?
What kind of Brainiac is it this time? Is it the alien entity, or is it Kryptonian entity?
It is alien entity. So it looks like they've combined. They're giving us both the kind of Silver Age green skin, purple suit Brainiac, but also the 80s robot, you know, probe Brainiac skull ship, which are probably the 2 most iconic versions.
He's definitely not Kryptonian, because he's looking to collect Kryptonians, right?
Yeah. And I really did like, though, how they started it out with starting back on Krypton when Jor-El and Lara sending him away, just like, you know, I mean, Superman 2 started there, even though we don't, you know, it's already gone. So I did like
Returns. So they all start.
Yeah. I like how they kind of repeated it a little bit, you know, here in, you know, Jor-El giving his classic speech at the very beginning, you know.
In doubt, just quote Superman the movie if you're making a sequel. That's what they do.
Yeah. If you got the rights to Marlon Brando, you got to use them.
Yeah, I guess. Somehow, maybe they don't. Maybe they're going to get sued. but they get sucked into, you know, Brainiac collects them, which is like, oh, well, that's kind of a retcon. And because that explains, because they released a lot of cover art for the rest of the series, and there's one like Superman meeting his parents. I was like, "What is this?" And I'm like, "Okay, we'll see." That is quite a retcon, right? Whoa. I mean, this isn't who's read Superman Birthright?
I did
at some point.
Okay, I need to revisit it. You know, I've been talking to actually other people about it lately, and hearing podcasts about it being mentioned. I'm like, you know what? I should revisit that. It came out when Smallville was kind of starting, and that was kind of is it going to be like Smallville in a comic book? It was not that. It was like a soft reboot inside post-crisis. It contradicted Man of Steel being the John Byrne reboot a little bit, but it filled in other gaps. It was very different. Anyway, there's a great moment where due to the technology Lex is using, Superman's able to see Jor-El and Lara, and they're able to see him. Like, just it's a great moment of like a. They find out what happened to him and he can tell them he's okay kind of thing. And I was like, oh, even right now I'm getting like warm feelings about it. Thinking about it. I want to revisit it though. Cause I didn't really give it a big shot. Cause I really love Superman Secret Origin, Jeff Johns, Gary Frank. I'm like, there we go. That's what I'm looking for. Take Birthright off my shelf. No, it's all still there in a row, but I should revisit Birthright. Anyway, I think that's the extent that you should do this. I don't know. Like, we're talking way in the, we're conjecturing now, but clearly at the beginning of Superman 78, number one, Jor-El and Lara get sucked up by Brainiac, right? So we're going to see them again later. I'm like, he's going to meet them. Are they going to live in this bottle city? Are they going to die? Like, I don't know. That just seems like a serious retcon to me that I don't know how I feel about. So.
Am I misremembering? I thought the exposition we get from Brainiac is that he missed the opportunity to get Kryptonians. And that's why he was excited when he found one on Earth.
I guess I was just so fixated on that cover for like number three. Here we go. Joey's.
We're going to the book.
I got going to the book. It's Chris. They both got it. They're pulling it up. We're going to consult the source material.
Something is happening. This is not correct. And they're looking up and pretty concerned.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, you have the covers.
The covers. Look up the cover of number three.
Maybe they go back in time.
There we go. Well, that's what great original ideas. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm super excited to see Superman take on Brainiac because I don't think we get enough of it.
That's true.
I think that would be a fantastic movie idea.
But this was just a nice moment of opposition. The listeners can't see this, but Chris just pulled out this phone to check the cover, and Joey just pulled out an original comic book to check out the pages. Yes. So this was a nice opposition.
How do you guys feel about comics, digital or paper? Where do you land on it?
I think subscription services like whatever the DC Universe turned into are fantastic. Like, I think comics as a whole have gotten too expensive, and that's probably our fault as the consumers for not buying as many.
But, yes.
but I mean, you know, when I was in college and every ounce of my paycheck went to, you know, could go to comic books, it did, but you know, it can't anymore. So I definitely like paying, you know, whatever it is, $7.99 a month and being able to read as much as I want, cancel my membership until I have time to read again.
That's a great deal considering they're like $2.99, $3.99 now for these things.
Yeah. That's,
the Superman 78 is $3.99.
DC holding the line at $3.99. Right. Remember, I thought that's the past now. Remember Smallville, the series finale? It was like the far future, 2018. They're still holding that line at $2.99. With the Superman comic book that reveals Clark Kent's secret identity his whole life. Yeah. Anyway,
that's one of the issues I think the comic book industry as a whole has. I can't imagine that teens, even boys interested in the whole MCU, can't afford that many comics. I started to read comics when they released the New 52 because that was the perfect entry point for a foreigner. But I tried to, if you only read Superman, you need to buy the action comic and the Superman comic alone. And maybe
don't forget Justice League.
Justice League, yeah. And then maybe one Batman, but then you have Batman and the detective comics. And you are at a steady 20, 30 bucks every 2 weeks. I mean, I can afford it. I'm an adult, but I don't think comic books should be comic books, not graphic novels. Comic books should be only affordable by adults, and at that rate. So I don't know where they try to go with their $4.99 sticker price at the moment.
You were talking about the John Byrne run, the Man of Steel run. When those were going on, they were in four different. I'm trying to say like Action Comics, Superman one. Like there were four different separate. Things that yes, all
there was Superman, coincide. There was Action Comics, there was Man of Steel, and there was Man of Tomorrow, right? That was
there's some
his
I know
less
four.
Known subtitle, or Adventures of Superman.
So probably, I think that's it.
Yeah, because there was a Superman and there was Adventures of Superman. It's like, y'all, come on. But back then, more affordable, right? I know it was like inflation and stuff, but seriously, like even then that's cheaper than it was now, if you account inflation.
I know I held my phone up to show that I was reading it, but that's just because I wanted to. I bought the first one quickly to see if I like it. But I actually am a graphic novel guy. I like when you have a full story and you can buy the full print. And it's, like I mentioned, the four different stories put together in order and I could just read through it. So my collection is all graphic novels.
The other nice thing about graphic novels is I like going into my comic book store and saying, all right, Kevin, is this was this any good? Or, you know, it was great. And all right, I can actually buy this one rather than wasting my money week to week on something that isn't.
So you're on first name basis with Kevin Smith? Cool.
Yeah.
Joey shops at the secret stash. He goes, oh man. The thing with graphic novels, right, is like, I will wait for those for collections of things, but like when there's like event things going on, I'm like, well, I'm not going to wait months for Superman 78 or Batman 89, like I got to read those as they come out, you know? So now Smallville, I did wait because it was digital first. And these were supposed to be digital first, by the way, the Superman and Batman ones, but they changed that up. I mean, at least that was my initial understanding. They were going to be like the Smallville comic books. So they were going to like release little chapters for a month. And then at the end of every month, you'd have a collected print issue. And that's what I did with Smallville season 11. Cause I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to read four pages of something, you know? And that's just like a microcosm of what you're talking about, Chris. It's like, yeah, I want, like, if there's a 6-12 issue run, I'll just read it all together. So,
well, with the super one, the Smallville ones too, they started introducing second storylines. So they had like their version of Titans that took a run and things like that. So if you're like waiting for Smallville stories, you kind of, it's like, I don't want to see this. I want to go back to Clark.
Yeah. Exactly. So speaking of going back to Clark, so we'll put a pin in that for Superman 78. I'm interested to see where they go, how they handle Lex and where they establish the timelines coming up. So that will be very informative of where we go. But what's so exciting about that is because of rights and likeness issues, that we've never been true Christopher Reeve Superman comic books. Like, there was an adaptation of 4. Apparently there's an adaptation of 3 as well, but they were just drawn generic, like Superman and stuff. And other than like Gary Frank drawing Superman like Christopher Reeve and the rest of, you know, to various degrees, the rest of that cast, we don't really have that. And this is that finally. So that's truly exciting. Batman 89, you know, the most these comics have in common with Batman 89 is probably the fact that Batman is barely in the movies. Right. I liked the first issue. I liked the setup. I'm like, okay, this is Harvey Dent and all that. And extrapolating things that we had seen, the Joker gang versus like people dressing up like Batman. I'm like, this is a brilliant idea. I cannot wait to see where they go with this story. And then they don't do anything with that. And the second issue, we're probably never going to see the Joker gangs again. I mean, I feel like bait and switch with that, because now it's this whole thing about Burnside, which I had never heard of. But apparently that is an area of Gotham City that Batgirl has operated in some recent comic books. But they kind of changed it where it's like a kind of lower class neighborhood. It's where Harvey Dent's from. So he's got those kind of dynamics going on. I think that is interesting because, you know, he's an African-American and he's come from a certain community and he's kind of risen up the ranks in the political community. And that kind of is some tension, like, you know, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But then we have this whole thing with like police are trying to get Batman, but they shoot some civilians and then Batman quits and then he's donating money. And I'm like, okay, like, to me, I mean, we'll get into it when it's all over. I want to see where they go, but I'm like, this doesn't feel like Batman 89. This was like Batman 2021. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I definitely felt that. I was like, wow, this is, you know, this is very current, you know,
ripped from the headlines.
Yeah. I did really like, you know, like you said, the Harvey Dent, you know, the, you know, coming from a different part of town, and they kept saying two Gothams, which I'm from, you know, outside the Chicagoland area. And a lot of times you hear people say two Chicagos, you know, it's a very similar concept. So, I mean, I really like that Harvey stuff, but yeah, I mean, like that kid, they killed a kid right away. Like that was,
yeah.
That was real intense.
And then the white eyes of Batman, I was like, oh, these are going to be lenses, right? They're going to be like retractable and stuff. And it's like, no. And I because the issue where he's like, or the panel that I'm thinking of when he sees the kid dead, he's like, no. And we see his eyes all big. I'm like, that looks so dumb on a Michael Keaton Batman. Like, why is it easier? I guess it must be easier to draw the eyes white, but like this whole, I was on Twitter tweeting these guys like, so these are like lenses, right? Like the Dark Knight, like we're going to see his eyes at some point. And apparently we're not, I don't know. We'll see when he unretires, if he comes back with eyes in his suit or not. You know what I mean?
I also feel it's in terms of retconning things. I feel like that is not the Jim Gordon that we've seen it did not look
he was slightly up. He was a mix between the Pat Hingle Jim Gordon and the animated series Jim Gordon, and that's of the stuff they're doing here is mixing those two.
Yeah, it definitely felt like the animated series Jim Gordon, and that I thought that was a little odd. Like, it just didn't seem like the guy we saw in the movies. And
well, I hope he comes back. It seems like he might have quit or something. And the last, I like, they were establishing more the relationship between them. The first, I'm like, okay, cool. And he's like, well, I guess that's it. And then he like destroys his headset and doesn't talk to him anymore. I'm like, oh, so we'll see. Again, two issues in, we'll see. And then the whole Robin thing. I will say this. I'm not crazy about what they're doing with Robin, especially how they might explain his name, but we'll get into that when it's all said and done and all sticks. I don't mind that he's not Dick Grayson, because if they did make a Batman 3 in 1995, he with Tim Burton, knowing what his thinking was, it would not have been Dick Grayson. It would have been whoever, right? And so he's Drake is this guy's name, right?
Or Blake.
What?
Blake.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, no. I take it all back. I take it all back. Why are they ripping off? Why are they borrowing so much from the Dark Knight trilogy? Because Harvey Dent, fiance, burning building, says goodbye, falls. I'm like, y'all, is it that hard to throw some acid in somebody's face in a courtroom? So anyway, we'll see. Not what I was expecting. I mean, I love the, like, talk about the Superman 78 covers, which kind of like, like those annoyed me because they were generic and like there's no globe on the Daily Planet roof. I don't know why they keep thinking there is. Have they seen the movies? The Batman 89 cover has been fantastic. Like there's like the Two-Face and the Shadow and the Barbara Gordon with the logo and all. I'm like, I'm so excited for those. So, but
are they erasing continuity then? So like Forever and Batman and Robin don't count?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if I like Batman Forever better than this when it's all said and done. We'll see. Again, it's a multi-part story. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I guess I was so hyped for 89 and like kind of lukewarm on 78. Now I'm like slowly turning the other way. Who would have thought Superman better than Batman? But we're going to let it play out. But the fact that Drake, the Robin, is like the car repair guy, that is from Tim Burton's ideas, right? And of course, Harvey Dent's carried over. But other than that, I don't feel like it doesn't look like the Gotham. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I am with it right now. So I'm hoping that it kind of settles in and we see, you know, more Batman in Batman 89. So
these are hot takes for Batman Day.
Corporate mandated Batman Day. So that's when we're recording this. So every day is Batman Day at DC Comics, right?
And you said this was a 6-issue run?
Yes, this Batman 89 and Superman 78 are currently planned to be 6-issue miniseries.
And you already have 2 issues, so 1/3 is over and the story hasn't really developed? Oh.
Well, okay. A story is developing, but I don't know. Like, I wanted to see more Batman, but I get Tim Burton movies. Don't see a lot of him. It's all about the supporting characters and villains and stuff. I don't know. Somebody steals a PlayStation, which didn't exist in 1995. Maybe this is later in the timeline. I don't know. It's after Batman Returns. That's all I know. Bruce Wayne has some gray hair. Barbara Gordon is like 30-year-old detective. I'm not sure like what the timeline on that is. We'll see. I'm super invested in both these universes my entire life. So that's why I feel so strongly about them. So we will see.
Okay. But you just spoke about the Daily Planet Globe. Has any of you had the chance to check out the HD version of Lois and Clark?
Look at that segue. Look at that. Look at that, DJ. Yes, I'm very excited. I was hoping that we'd see it in HD. I've seen a lot of shows. I've done some tweets about this and some screen caps, but I've noticed a lot of shows from the 90s, which were filmed on video. They're doing some kind of upgrade with them. Babylon 5, Sequest, Lois and Clark, right? These are kind of genre shows from the 90s. And I was worried that they all get lost to standard definition, but they keep showing up on streaming services and they keep showing up in high definition and it's never looked better. These Lois and Clark DVDs look very rough, my friends. Yeah. And I was convinced they would be stuck there forever, but man, it is a night and day difference. And I'm very excited to rewatch the show. I'm watching it along with Matt Drosich's podcast, Lois and Clark, the new podcast, Superman. Recommend that everybody check that out. But now I'm like, great. I mean, I have these DVDs, but now I'm just going to watch it on HBO Max. So.
Yeah, if anyone want to check out just to see the difference in the final scene of the pilot episode, Superman brings Lois back to the Daily Planet, and in the original DVD video, this is all purple. I don't know what they did back then, but the whole screen is purple, purplish tainted, and they really cleaned it up. Now it looks crystal clear. Yeah, you look confused. Check it out. Check out the original DVD, the scene where he flies into the Daily Planet. It's purple. Just trust me. And now it's clear.
Yeah, it's on my list to get back to watch more. I've looked at it a little bit just to see the differences. I'm looking forward to seeing when, I think it's like, I don't know if it's like season 3 or maybe even from when they get to that one where they go in the virtual reality world kind of thing. I'm interested to see like that when those kinds of graphics in HD, I think that'd be interesting. But no, I love that show. I grew up with it. That was my first real exposure to Superman. I'm really looking forward to doing that. I have I've listened to some of Lois and Clark also. I got to pick that back up once I get back into it.
I'm an occasional guest on there, so there's a reason enough to listen to it. So, and Matt Truex is a good friend and contributor, so I really have enjoyed his takes on the show.
I think the last thing I ever listened to is when they interviewed Tracy Scoggins, and I thought that was really fun.
Oh man, yeah, that was a long time. That was a long time.
Yeah, ago. I only got through like their first season before things came out. I'm really behind on podcasts.
There are plenty out there, absolutely. So, Joey, are you a Lois and Clark fan? Joey, where do you fall on this?
You know, that's my hot take. I've never liked the show. I've tried multiple times. I'm not a fan. It's just I don't know. It's probably more so my age. On, you know, I was a young kid when Smallville was first starting, so that's more of what I was focusing on. And in terms of older stuff, I always enjoyed the George Reeves shows, but never got in. I have the season one of Lois and Clark. And again, I've tried multiple times. I haven't gotten to the finale yet of the first season. So maybe now that's on HD and I might give it a shot, but.
I mean, it looks, that's the thing when you watch like, cause I tried to rewatch like Sequest a few years ago, like on Netflix. Cause I always remember I have a vague, it's like Undersea Star Trek. Like I should have loved this show. Right. And I didn't. The guy from Jaws is the captain. Anyway, I tried to rewatch it on Netflix a few years ago and it was like, man, this looks ugly and murky and like, you know, and great. Anyway, now I've actually started to kind of revisit a little bit on NBC. It's on Peacock, which I get for free with my internet service. So that's why I'm not paying for Peacock. All right. Cause that's an absurd name. And just get another streaming service, but it's on there. I'm like, I'll check this out. And there's just something about seeing in HD. It looks just so fresh, you know? And like it, anyway, it does make a difference. So if you were having trouble getting through it, check it out. And I was like, it's Lois and Clark as well. Like I remember it. I don't know. I guess I was watching Star Trek. Me and my family were watching Star Trek. We didn't watch Lois and Clark every week. I watched more George Reeves Adventure of Superman as a kid. Cause Naked Night and stuff like that. But anyway, I had, you know, vague enough memories of it and remember a lot certain episodes, scenes and this, and then it was on TNT for a long time as well. And repeats. And I never really disliked it. It was just kind of there. And but anyway, I was when the DVDs came out, I was recommended it by Superman fans whose opinions I respected. And I got season one and the DVD and I really liked it. I was like, this was solid. This is great, especially Lex Luthor. I mean, he's the standout of the Luthers are always the standouts of these things, right? But John Shea is fantastic, Lex Luthor, very underrated. Yeah, I love the first season. The season finale is the two part season finales are my favorite episodes of the show. So if you can get there, Joey. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm just gonna really offend some people. I really just don't like Dean Cain as Superman at all. Actually, I really think I just don't like him as Clark Kent at all.
Interesting because most people would say the opposite, right?
Yeah,
I don't like
either. You guys argue it out there. But
yeah. Oh, I don't want to argue. I respect the opinion. I get it.
He's just like it does. I mean, I'm assuming there's a wedding eventually, right? So Lois does put it together.
Oh, there's a few.
Okay. Like that's one of the ones where I just don't see how she doesn't put it together. And he has brown eyes that always bothered me that they don't do anything to cover up his brown eyes.
Yeah, I mean, blue contact lenses like Brandon Routh.
Yeah, like I don't know.
He's also half Asian. I mean, or maybe full. I don't know.
He's Pacific, right? Islander.
Yeah.
That was a recent discussion when they again brought up the issue. Oh, should Superman be other than white? And Dean Cain was just, guys, Pacific Islander here.
I was a fan from Dean Cain early on just because he like has the life that I always wanted. He was a history major in college. He played football. He was drafted by played for the Buffalo Bills until he blew out his knee. Then he got to play Superman on TV. So for me, that was always growing up. I was like, I want that life.
Yeah.
I know. He has a very distinct form of acting in this show particularly. And he keeps it up through the whole way through. And it's kind of like, if you start to pick up on it, like his pauses are very strange sometimes. Like he pauses in the middle of saying like regular sentences. He might be like, yeah, I'm going on a podcast today. And he does it when he's talking, like, watch the show, you'll pick up on it. He does it a lot. Not to take away. I really enjoy his Clark Kent because I feel like there's always the argument when you look at Superman, which one is the real identity? Is Superman who he is and Clark Kent is the mask, or is Clark Kent who he is and Superman is the mask? And there's a lot of different takes about, and I think even in his show it said is like Clark Kent's who I am, Superman is what I do or something like that.
Yeah, Superman is what I can do. That's one of the most famous quotes of the show. Yeah,
from the show. Yeah. And like I always enjoyed that for him in that show, kind of like Clark Kent was not like a priority over being Superman, but like he actually, it wasn't just like in kind of like in Superman the movie where he is Clark Kent to be in the right place at the right time. Yeah. Like he doesn't give into his life or all that. So I kind of enjoyed that take on it. And, you know, I grew up with it, so I have the soft spot, but I can look back at that and see why somebody who didn't, or, you know, like it's very 90s.
Yeah.
And being on a Smallville podcast, I will say, in terms of the which one am I, you know, Clark Kent or Superman, I like that Smallville kind of shows that both are the mask at the end of the mm-hmm. day. You know, I mean, he's, you know, it, you know, when he's on the farm at home, he, you know, that's when he's his truest self, and he has to put on a mask for both, you know, both roles.
Yeah. 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 And I would argue that even Christopher Reeve was like that, because like Kal-El, like when he's in the fortress, is the real him, or even with Lois in the fortress, is the real him.
Yeah.
When he's Superman, he's like, hello, citizens. And when he's Clark Kent, he's like, wah, 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 right. But that is more like, that is Silver Age. Clark Kent is just this like extra thing he has to do. Although, even though he has a good time doing it, like he mentions in the movie, you know, I kind of enjoy making a fool of myself or whatever. I do agree with, like, you know, and I've heard this before, like other people have said this, so I'm not like being blowing people's minds here, right? But like Batman is like the opposite. Like Bruce Wayne is like just this facade that he puts on, but he only feels comfortable. Like Batman, Bruce Wayne died in the alley with his parents, right? Batman is who Bruce Wayne became. So he's like the opposite, right? Like his secret identity is his real self. He's like, hey, I'm Bruce Wayne. Like, that's why I love the early animated series, like the pre-Kids WB, the Fox Kids. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Yeah. Where he's like, there's clear distinction where he's like, hey Doc, I'm Bruce Wayne, right? And he's like, yes, I'm Batman. But then later on, it's like the same like mood for Bruce and Batman, right? Not exactly, but it was pretty much, it was just very evident. And that was like the best, like when, like especially in episodes, God, I think it was actually the first episode of the show, right? Early on Leather Wings, I think, when he's like in the Batcave as Batman, and then he's like, somebody calls and he like uses the hey Doc, like the Bruce Wayne voice or something. So that's, I don't know, that's what I think of, but yeah, the Lois and Clark, it is of its time, but there's a lot of great stuff in there, and I think it's mm-hmm. it's overlooked. I would recommend it. Give it a chance on HBO Max and HD. Right? Let us know what you think. So
I can totally see what you're talking about, like how does she not figure it out, because I think, you know, and I'm prefacing this, I love Lois and Clark, the story, and Dean Cain's one of my favorite Clark Kents, but he doesn't do too much to differentiate himself. Especially once they get into like season two and you know, later season, whatnot, he doesn't,
also, especially when they change Lois. They change his glasses and they make it like cool. Like I said, they try to make him cool and trendy Clark Kent, but I'm like, that's not what that character is supposed to be, right?
Yeah, but like also, yeah, no, for real. The glasses was a huge thing when they did it. But just how he interacts with Lois is the same. And as Superman there, it's just, okay, my hair is completely slicked back and wet, or it's, you know, forward and hanging down.
I hate his Superman hair. I hate that. Like, you got to have some kind of
volume
to it, or some curls or something.
But like the John Byrne Man of Steel is like the opposite. When he's Clark Kent, he has it completely slicked back like that. It's interesting. I love analyzing all the different takes on Superman, and like I got this one book, the Larry Ty book about Superman, and it just talks about it throughout the ages. And I don't know, I could go on about this stuff for days.
Oh man, that's why we're here. So
I love it.
I love all of the Metropolis and Daily Planet stuff. Like like Lane Smith's my favorite Perry White. The whole Elvis thing, mm-hmm. you know, is great. And then the Jimmy, I like Michael Landis, Jimmy Olsen. More maybe because he was the first one, maybe that's why I relate to him, but I feel like he had more to do than the Justin Whalen, even though Justin Whalen looked more like the comic, like a smaller kind of redheadish, maybe brownish redheadish dude. And then you know, obviously Terry Hatcher, right? Best Lois, you know, hot take, I don't know, from Smallville guy, but
it's still Erica.
I there's only one actress as Lois Lane that I did not enjoy. And
who was
all the other ones bring different. Oh, Kate Bosworth.
Okay. So I've grown on her as Lois. Like, she's not like, she's still at the bottom of the list, but she's not bad. She was miscast because she shouldn't be a mother of a 6-year-old.
Yeah, and I didn't buy it. I don't know, for her, I just didn't buy her in the role. I couldn't see her being an award-winning journalist who does it. She kind of just like stumbled around everywhere, was very unsure of herself.
After the pilot of Superman and Lois, my wife and I both agreed, like, this is the best Lois Lane I've ever seen.
Bitsy, I mean, she might do it. Like, after one season, I can't say, okay, here's the title, but she is well on her way to being my favorite Lois Lane.
She personifies the animated series Lois, I think.
Yes.
And that's what did it for me, I think.
It's hers to lose now, I guess I would say. I agree. And I loved Erica Durant's.
Yeah, she's Daniel Jones running with the ball, and you know, it's just if she falls then she might lose it. But
yeah, all the characters on that show feel very real, and that makes them approachable, I think. When she has problems with her sons, that's just something a parent can relate to, and it feels real, more real than all the old shows. The Superman and Lois show feels less like a comic book action show, just rather a real show that just happens to have supernatural elements in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just to add on to that, like, you see what's happening in these, especially the early episodes, and they start to tee up like the typical drama that you'd get with a CW show. And I just felt like every time they surprised me and steered in the direction away from it and kind of resolve their issues or didn't get too much into like things that you'd see on TV, but that never happened in real life, just for drama type thing. I was really impressed with that about Superman and Lois.
Yeah. So top three Loises, you know, that would, you know, Bitsy and Erica and Terry, right? There's your top three. And so that's where I'm sitting. So, but it was there have been so many great Lois Lanes, right? And that's a good problem to have, right? And, but obviously, yeah, Terry Hatcher is like the definitive one. I guess I go to Lois and Clark more now because I'm like, you know what? There's, I just want to see these characters. Like, I want to see Lois and Clark at the Daily Planet with Superman and Lex Luthor and Perry White there with Jimmy Olsen. I'm like, that's the only place you can go and find these things outside of like the Christopher Reeve movies. I'm talking live action now, right? I love Smallville. It's my favorite show, right? But it's like, we never got that stuff. We got it all at different random times. It's like, Lex is doing some stuff and here's Jimmy, but he's not Jimmy, and Lex is dead, but here's Tess, and now you're the Blur, and now the show is over, and Perry White's a voice behind a door. It's like, all right, thanks. Like, let's... If all those pieces came together at the same time, then it would be unbeatable, but they're just all spread around. So that's my thing about Smallville. That's why Lois and Clark, I'm like, yeah, that's the show you got to go to if you want to see this. And as good as Superman and Lois is, right? There's no Lex Luthor. They're not in Metropolis. There's no secret identity. Talk about that. Right, talk about no secret identity. Dean Cain or Tyler Hoechlin, who has less distinctiveness between the two characters? I'm not sure. At least Dean Cain has different hair. Right, Tyler Hoechlin is the same thing.
George Reeves is worse.
George Reeves, he has different hair, right? Or is it the same?
Yeah, I think it's the same.
No, there's something about George Reeves, like, you know, he's like your tough older brother Superman or something. Like, I don't know. Like, that's a totally different era. But I see your yeah. point.
Now, have you guys seen Hollywoodland?
Yes.
Nope.
Ben Affleck playing George Reeves playing Superman. It's fantastic.
You know, to hashtag it's all connected, Kyle McClanahan, who starred in the Dune movie from the 80s, he really wanted that role of George Reeves, and he was like the runner up, and he lost to Ben Affleck, and he would have been he looks like George Reeves, like that would have been a perfect role for him. Yeah.
But then Ben Affleck couldn't have had a romantic evening with Martha.
Right. And also worn a Superman suit and a Batman suit, right? The only actor to do that in movies. But no, everybody check that out. George Reeves, right? That's one of the great Hollywood mysteries, his death, right? It's very suspicious. And that's what this movie is all about. Hollywoodland. And Adrian Brody plays a private eye who's investigating it. And anyway, it's an interesting movie, especially if, you know, you have any vested interest in the adventures of Superman starring George Reeves. So that's the deal, right? Superman Lois, like I was kind of like, maybe they'll move back to Metropolis, and nope, they're gonna be in Smallville forever. I've never watched 10 years of Smallville on TV, watching 10 more, I guess, with this show. But this show won't go 10 years. This will go like 3, 4, 7.
Once the Flash leaves, it is going to be the best DC show on the network.
I think it already is.
Have you seen the Flash lately?
Have you seen the Flash?
I've seen clips.
It's so bad.
Did you see them have their lightsaber fight in the Speed Force, Joey?
On Facebook.
See, I saw it on Twitter, but no. I don't know. I mean, I'm not as educated to say what's the best, but it's hard, based off what I've seen and heard and know about the current state of the Arrowverse, it's hard for me to think any other show is better than Superman and Lois right now.
I just, watching The Flash, I watch an episode and I think, how did this get past the writer's room? Like, number one, you're repeating 18 different things you've done this season alone in episodes. Number two, you've already established the kind of powers he has. So, like, why are you putting him in situations where his powers would instantly solve the problem, but then they don't? And number three, like, you're just recycling storylines between different characters. And you're bringing in these new characters and you're trying to, but they're doing story. It's just, how does it make it out of the writer's room? Like, who looks at this and says, this is going to be a good episode of TV?
I think they underrate the power of just, like, I would watch a good Flash show that didn't have any drama to it. I would watch the Flash just go and stop random people and there's no big twists. Like, I think they're underrating how much comic book fans wouldn't mind just tuning into just regular Flash action every week.
Or, like, I don't know, like CSI with superpowers, like what the show was, I thought was going to be. Because he's like,
yeah.
What an underutilized aspect of this guy, right?
And honestly, we started on Supernatural. I think that's why they lasted so long, because the way Supernatural went every year, I felt like, was the first two or three episodes of every season would kind of focus in on the big overarching season plot. And then they do Freak of the Week, and their Freak of the Week, you know, was just phenomenal. It was just like a cop show mixed with, you know, a ghost hunter type thing. And they would do something different every week. And then at the end of the season, they'd jump back in. Oh, let's get back to the main season plot. And I think a Flash could really benefit from that kind of structure.
Yeah, I've stopped watching The Flash after the Crisis on Infinite Earths, because I also felt that every year was the same drama all over again. And it kind of got boring at the end. So I find it sad, because I really like the first season. I even liked the second season. And when in the third season, they started to introduce the next speedster who's faster than him, I was like, okay, well, are we going somewhere? Apparently not, even though we are the fastest man alive.
I think everyone's analysis of The Flash.
he's the fastest man alive, but everyone they bring in is faster.
Well, yeah, it's just like his intro. I'm the fastest man alive. Are you, though? And then, like, I think I've talked to so many people, myself included. I've talked to myself. Yeah, you know what I mean? Of, like, that's my Flash. Like, that's my Flash. Like, so, hey, do you watch The Flash? And that's what I tell people. Like, yeah, love the first season. Second wasn't as good, but it was still pretty good. Third one started to repeat itself, and I'm like, I kind of... Now, if there weren't, like, four other shows to watch, like, if there were just Flash and Arrow and nothing else ever showed up, I probably would have stuck with Flash, right? But I'm like, Legends, Supergirl, it's just overwhelming. Black Lightning, right? It's like, and I like bits and pieces and what I see and what, you know, but I'll tune in for the crossovers, but it just... And now, I don't know, like, I gotta look at the slate and see what's left after next year, right? I mean, like, Legends is... going to be our last season coming up, is that correct, or am I wrong about this?
No, just Dominic Purcell exited, but I think they haven't set an end date yet. I think they are the one show where they go until the actors don't care anymore, because they're so crazy anyway. But that's the aspect I like. They realized after the first season that the serious time travel concept doesn't work. So they went on to do their shenanigans, including sentences like, oh, they just called because it's this year's crossover. We will do it. And then they didn't do it. So, because at some point you can't take time travel that seriously. And they worked out a nice balance to do crazy shenanigans. We worship Bibu. And
I'm looking forward to, because I get these seasons on Blu-ray just to have, because I'm a physical media guy. Plus, you know, I got access to it on streaming and stuff. But once, you know, once the time comes to really get back into these other like legends, I'm very excited because I love Katie Lotz, right? And Sarah Lance. I love Brandon Routh, right? Regardless of who he's playing. So, and those are your
he's
anchors.
He's gone now too.
Right? Yeah. What? No, I know. I heard.
He'll be back for crossover.
But he's coming back on the Flash 5-part crossover next season. So to finally pass the reins over to Ryan Choi, who I was like, has he been in anything since Crisis? And everyone tells me no. Like, what a waste. Anyway, I'm excited for that. And what I've heard is, you know, is good. And I really like Matt Lester as Reverse Flash, even though they don't, I guess, because they always use Tom Cavanaugh. Maybe now that Tom Cavanaugh left the Flash, they'll go back to Matt Lester, as that's how Eobard Thawne should look. I'm sorry. Like, I don't understand what he looks just like for all the changes and all this stuff, all these shows, like that dude looks like he stepped off the page as Eobard Thawne, like the original redheaded dude. And he was great when I've seen of him. And yeah, talk about people, actors leaving, DJ. I mean, like the Flash, right? Tom Cavanaugh's gone.
Yeah.
Cisco's gone. I mean,
it's basically Smallville all over again. At some point, the actors had enough roles to play. I mean, Tom Cavanaugh was the cornerstone of that show, I think, because he played like 20 different versions of himself. But it's sad to say, but it's the older actors that make these shows work. You have, I don't know his real name, but Barry's dad. You have Tom Cavanaugh. These are, in quotes, real actors.
No, Jesse L. Martin,
Jesse L. Martin, exactly, who can deliver the lines.
Barry and Iris's dad, am I right?
Yeah. And they also have the advantage of not having get caught in so many love triangle plot lines. So they get the more serious plot lines where they can act not the same stuff all over again every time. And Tom Cavanaugh, as I said, with his 20 characters, he can choose for every episode what to do. I think that's a dream for an actor. But I think in the end, it was time for him. I think he thought it was time to go to do new things.
Well, he's still around. He's directing.
Okay.
Like, he directed the finale for Superman and Lois. And so I think he's still around.
He's on call to play Reverse Flash whenever they need him. Like, he was great in the first season, but that was a plot point. Like, I stole this guy's face and I was this guy. And let's move on from that. You know, he should have been, and I didn't like, I didn't stick around long enough to see all these Wellses and stuff, right? Like, when after Flashpoint, Earth One Harrison Wells should have been like restored, and that would have been his character for the rest of the show.
Spoiler alert.
Is that what happens at some point?
That's how he goes off into the sunset. And the last thing, he is himself, but he's like a time traveler now. He can travel through time himself, and he's just going to go live his life out with his wife and on the beach.
That the original one that we saw on the beach that time, is he's got his wife back?
No, now he's all of them. He's all of the Harrison Wells, like in one.
I am all the Jedi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I could be butchering this a little bit, but
that sounds like something
he has somewhat encompassed. So, like, first off, the guy, whatever.
What about Pariah?
Yeah, that was a waste too. He wasn't, anyways. I guess it's so like the Wells they had this last season, like the newest Wells after Crisis. He had like all the Wells inside his head, like all of them, and the bad one almost came out or something. But then like, he came back as another like super Wells, and now he's like enlightened, and he can travel through time on his own, and he's just gonna go live out his life, repeating over and over his time with his wife on the beach.
That drove me nuts, because the bad one is Thawne, and he should not have been a part of that. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's like they don't know, like they don't know their own rules. It's like this. He was never. He just had his face, so he's gonna live in that moment of time before his wife got killed.
Yeah, except for when Barry needed him one time, he came back and helped, and then I don't know.
Of course. Makes sense.
Wow. I'm not regretting stopping watching The Flash. You know, give Arrow credit. I feel like it pulled up from its nosedive. right, and had it stuck the landing, you know. Of course, we all have things we'd have done differently over the course of all those years, but you know, but all that, well, you know, this makes you appreciate Smallville more, does it? Well, not
we'll be getting a smaller we're going to be getting an Arrow miniseries, right?
Yeah. Hey, Stephen Amell has a, I guess that new wrestling show he's not too confident in. He's like, oh yeah, I mean, if they ask me back, yeah, totally. What happened to, like, I'm done, I'm never going back, right? What happened to that?
Did he ever say that? I don't think he ever said that.
Yeah, on Rosenbaum's podcast, he was like, well, you know, I would love to revisit Oliver. I'm like, how? Just in the office building you're with Felicity in forever? Like,
And also before on Rosenbaum, this is like the number one place that he talks about this stuff, right? Rosenbaum's podcast, before he talked about it, he was, you know, gone. And then he was like, you ever go back? He's like, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, was that before or after he had the mental breakdown and then left the podcast? So, like, he might have just been burned out. And now he's like, okay.
I would rather slit my wrist than play James Bond again. Right. It's that situation. I don't know. I mean, he seems to be getting kind of nostalgic, but he's got the tattoo now, right? That Stephen Amell is Arrow. But hey, man, sorry, you're living in the Speed Force with Felicity or something. So you're never coming back.
They'll find a way.
Maybe him and Diggle can be on the Green Lantern show. And they just, which I would love to see, but they really don't ruin Diggle for me. All right. That was my favorite thing in the finale. And they're like stretching this stuff out, because they got their stupid DC rules about multiple versions of characters. Even though there's a Flash movie coming out and a guy who's been playing the Flash on TV for 7 years, we cannot have John Stewart.
He's coming up on Supergirl soon, isn't he?
Yeah, because he was going to be in one episode of every other show. That was my understanding.
I think he's, because Supergirl's still going now. I picked up when Superman Lois, and I think he's got an episode coming out. Okay. But even though it's like, they've all been kind of, especially his Flash one, it's been disappointing. Like, he's not doing anything.
That big 5-episode crossover, right?
Yeah, he'll become Green Lantern and fly away. Like, that, I will be fine with
that.
Is
he signed up for that? Is he included in that?
He better be. Damian Dark's in it, so I think.
Yeah, McNamara's coming back.
Yeah,
they'll wrap up the Green Lantern Canary spotlight.
She never wanted to leave. She was all ready to lead her own show.
That might be for the best, though, because that really, like, puts a. Like, in, like, I don't know, maybe not. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, if you have a show that takes place 40 years in front of all the other shows,
you're really kind of boxed, you're hamstrung, right? Because you can't have all these, like, world-ending events that could potentially be dangerous. Fine.
That's what Arrow season is like. Oh, why do I care about what's going to happen now? Because they're 40 years from now, they're fine, 20 years from now, right?
They went and erased all that in Crisis, though.
Legends of Tomorrow was the answer. Like, oh, they messed up the timeline. Oops. Yeah. That's the answer. And then Constantine, Matt Ryan he's leaving. It's Constantine, but he's staying playing another character. That's some Flash BS right there.
They already did that with what's her face? Maisie Richardson Sellers.
I didn't know that, but then I heard about that. I'm like, what? And she was already the different Vixen.
Well, because they couldn't keep her as that Vixen, because she had to go back to her village or whatever. Otherwise, it would upset the timeline that they already established when they brought Vixen on. So she had to go with somebody else. And then they bring this one as a shapeshifter or something, and she got stuck as that person. That's how. So that's why she's Maisie Richardson.
That is some 1990s Supergirl Matrix nonsense. This is, I don't know. As much as this is fun to discuss, though, as ridiculous as this is, I love. But okay, say what you will about the Arrowverse, because I know we've been dunking on it, right? I mean, this just sounds like comic books. I mean,
that's what it is.
Right? Yeah. And so it can't be that hard on it. But I don't know, man. Like, it started so well. You know, I mean, Arrow season 1, 2, Flash season 1, those are like the gold standards. And I really like Black Lightning, by the way. Now, I'm not caught up on it, as I understand it. It kind of had its own issues the last couple of years, perhaps. But that's the thing about the Arrowverse, man. It's that's what I'm saying. It's like comic books. They go on forever, and there's craziness, and it's absurd. If I tried to explain to you the death of Superman, you know, you'd be like, "What? You're an idiot. That sounds ridiculous." Right, so the Eradicator, man. Right, but anyway, I'll say this though, and I said this in Always on Superman Lois. If they were allowed to use Green Lantern, forget Steel. Like, John Stewart, Green Lantern should have been the one who show up and fight evil Superman or something, right? And then fight the Kryptonians. Like, that would have been awesome.
Yeah,
but because of DC and Warner Brothers and the movie division stuff, we're still arguing about. Even though there's a multiverse, we can't do it. But go see Ben Affleck, Michael Keaton, and Robert Pattinson as Batman in the theaters in 2022. But no, you cannot use John Stewart Green Lantern.
It's because they're doing the TV show, right?
But he's not in the TV show.
No, the HBO Max, aren't they doing a Green Lantern show?
Yeah, but John Stewart is not in that show.
No, but there's Green Lanterns. You can't oversaturate the market. But
there's two. You can have Barry two Supergirls.
There's going to be two Supergirls. There's already two Supermans. There's 18 Batman. Batmans. There's. It makes no sense.
Oh man.
Yeah, but the character that actually is multiple characters, that can't be multiple characters. Because there's only one Green Lantern, as we learned.
Yes, like that's the perfect character to have. Like you, like you're right. Like there's an endless number of people who can be Green Lanterns, right? But anyway, oh my goodness gracious. So, but hey, coming up on the podcast, going to Smallville season 7. You guys excited?
Yeah,
yeah.
Can't wait.
Fun.
I've been staring at the Veritas symbols in the mirror for the last 6 seasons. I want to know what it means.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're in early season 7 now. As of this recording, I recorded some already. Still no Veritas.
I'm still convinced it only appears in the very episode before it's brought up the first time.
That Check is just insulting. To the audience,
it's so insulting.
One episode before, no, not before.
It's so insulting, especially when you throw a line in there like the castle was built brick by brick when it was come back over from Scotland or whatever they brought it over from.
The and then the flashbacks in season 8 with Davis, and it's there. I'm like, no. Yes. Anyway, oh boy, but yeah, all this, you know, all this Arrowverse nonsense talking about it, right? I gotta say, like, Smallville, man, like, you gotta respect the game because they went 10 years. There were some seasons better than others, but they always had some good stuff going on there. And there were some strong season 9s, one of my favorite seasons. Season 10 has some A+ episodes in there. The first half of season 8 is fantastic, right? And then, you know, we just gotta get through season 7 before we get there. And there's some really good stuff in season 7 too, especially with Lex, I think. And which is great because that's his last season. So
Laura Vandervoort.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Laura Vandervoort. Fantastic. Big fan of her. So the show, they introduced her and then immediately try to remove her from all episodes. Like, what? Oh, crap. We didn't think this through.
Yeah, that's one of the issues of season 7. But I have an idea for you, Zach. When you go to the episode, I forgot the name, the episode where Chloe reveals that she has meteor powers to Jimmy.
Gemini, yeah.
Gemini, exactly. Try to watch or imagine watch this episode without all the Lana and Clark scenes and without the reveal that it's not actually Clark. Then it's a really great episode.
All right. Yeah, I don't mention this in the podcast, right, but I was spoiled on that.
Okay.
I was that Clark was Bizarro, because this is back in the day, right? And I hadn't watched the episode yet, and then I was like, I went to superhero hype all the time. I don't know if you guys ever went there back in the day, but it's funny, you go there now, and I haven't been there in a long time, but you know, they have a TV discussion in their forums, and it's like, you know, 50 topics. Now, back then, there were two topics. It was Smallville, Heroes. Those were the two you could choose, right? But anyway, I just started scrolling through, and it's my own fault. I was scrolling too far. I was clicking too much. I was like, what's that? What? And then I see, like, the I'm like, oh, my God, he's Bizarro. I knew Bizarro was going to come back, but I was like, oh, wow, he's going to be in this episode. And then, yeah, he was, you know, in the whole episode. And so rewatching it, we'll be talking about if his behavior tracks or not. Big miss for me, Smallville's Bizarro. That was just another evil Clark, sure, but making Bizarro was like, that's not Bizarro. Like, that is not that character at all. So
I would have liked him more if he hadn't fallen for the trap that everyone needs to love Lana.
His last words, I love you.
Yeah.
To Lana, he blows up.
And they had a perfect setup too, with Lex was doing experiments. And
yes.
Yeah, you guys heard me talk about that all the way back in season 2. I'm like, oh, great. They're going to use Meteor Rock, and it's not going to work on Clark's blood, and it's going to give you corrupt clone Bizarro. And that, for some reason, he doesn't recognize that, hey, it looks just like Clark. But they didn't do that.
Instead, they decided to make Superboy out of it.
Yeah. They make Superboy in season 10 because they're like, oh, I thought we were going to get Michael back. He's not coming back. Crap. What do we do with this kid? I don't know. Make him Superboy or something. All right, done. Oh, Michael's coming back. Okay. The clone that blew up was the original Zero. Anyway, we'll get there. But that's fun. I love going through this minutia. And I will keep an eye out for when that Veritas window shows up. And it is, as of right now, I'm as of this recording, I'm 4 episodes in. I haven't started releasing them yet. Coming this month of season 7. And there's There's no V on that window. It's just a big L. So big L indeed for the Veritas, for the Veritas symbol. But anyway. All right. Well, a lot of fun talking to you guys about all kinds of stuff on this level 33.1. You too can join the conversation by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallwith1s. So check us out over there. But if people want to find you guys out there online, where can they find you? Chris, we'll start with you.
Twitter at CRFuke7. You'll see me commenting on all of the Always Hold On To podcast threads.
Very good. What about you, Joey?
You can find me on Twitter at JoeyD94_13. And from here on out, just hoping by the time this airs, hopefully Justin Fields is playing and I have good things to talk about.
Awesome. And finally, what about you, DJ?
Yeah, I'm under DJ Döner on the Facebooks, and I'm commenting all the podcasts so far. And I also have a Twitter account, DJ Döner, but I'm not very active on the other social medias other than Facebook at the moment. Much to do, but if you find me, I'll be there.
You got that awesome Quark avatar on Facebook.
Anyway, exactly. So. I'm Deep Space Nine, my favorite Star Trek show of all time.
Good taste. Good taste, my friend. So, all righty. Well, that's going to do it for us this time on Level 33.1. We'll be back next time. But until then,
always
hold on to Smallville. Smallville. Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Darren Kirscht, Joy Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Duena, Nathan Rothatcher, Casey Cochran, Nathan McKenzie, Jason Skipper, Steve Rogers, Joe Mickendo, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, John Curcio, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Thomas Navin, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Mark Itzvapin, Alex Ramsey, Jason Davis, Patrick Bravo, Patricia Carrillo, Jacob Stevenart, Diana Bius, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clon Kant, Becca Zeifel, Jacob, Mariana Sachi, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Goso, Erica Flynn, Jared Gibbs, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Magelli, Keith Falls, Lauren D., and Cody Thomas. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.